the end of Parsha Shmini, we have all the dinim of, you have many of the dinim of Kashrus, not all the dinim, many of the dinim of Kashrus, starting from Shishi. In order to be allowed to eat the behema or a chaya, you have to have the two simone kashrus, you have to have malagera, mafris, parso. You don't have to have any kabbalah, you don't have to have any masora. This is a kosher animal. The pashtus is, whenever you see that it has the malagera, mafris, parso, you're allowed to eat it. There's a difference between behema and chaya. The Gemara points out one different. There are several differences. One difference is that the chelav of a chaya is mutter, and the chelav of a behema is also. The exact same part of the body that in the behema is labeled as chelav. So on a chaya we call it shuman, and we say that it's mutter to eat. Another difference is also the esbeno, that the prohibition to shecht also esbeno only applies to behemas, doesn't apply to chayas. Another difference is matonis. When you shecht a behemah, you're supposed to give zrolach hayayma hakeva to the kohanim. We don't do it in chutzlors. We have slaughterhouses all over the world. Chutzlors, we don't do it. We rely on Rashi. Rashi claims that there was such an opinion that, and the Gemara, Rashi claims that the Gemara said that that opinion was accepted. Lamai said that you're not obligated to give zrolach hayayma hakeva. That's called matonis. You're not obligated to give matonis if you shecht the animal in chutzlords. Yeah, what's the excuse in Eretz Yisrael? If you shecht behemoth in Eretz Yisrael, how can you buy a tongue? The tongue is part of the lechayayim. You're supposed to give it to the kohanim. How can anybody buy a tongue in Eretz Yisrael? They're not supposed to be selling it. So I think what they all do is in the slaughterhouses, they make a shutfus with a koyin. Shutfus with a nochri is uncomfortable. Who wants to be a shutfus with an Arab? But shutfus with a koyin. So kohanim are not mechuyim and zolachayim hakeva. But in chutz lords, the practices we don't give. So the din of zorah l'chayim akev only applies to behemis. It doesn't apply to chayis. How do you distinguish between a behemah and a chayis? So the Gemara tells you it depends on the shape of the horns. That's already complicated. So that you have to know. So there's a shach in Yerideya where he says that the minig is, the simple reading of the shach is that the minig is you only eat chaylev of a chaya if we have a masorah that this animal is a chaya. If you don't have a masorah, so we don't rely on our own determination by looking at the horns, the shape of the horns, and deciding that this is a chaya, not a behema. Therefore, the chaylev is mut. You're dealing with an isa karis. So let's say a deer we know is kosher, and a deer is a chaya. So when you shecht the deer, so you permit it to eat the chaylev. The parts that the parallel in a behema would have been isa karis, so in a deer it's mut. What if you find some new animal and you're not sure whether it's a behema or a chaya? So the shach says the minig is that we don't rely on our own determination that this is a chaya unless we have a masar. That's the simple reading of the shach. In Eretz Yisrael years ago, when Rabbi Herzog was the chief rabbi, soon after Hakamas HaMedina, they wanted to import the zebu animal from South America because the climate is so hot in Eretz Yisrael, so the animals have to drink a lot more. So they're, let's say a camel doesn't have to drink every single day. A camel stores up a lot of water and doesn't have to keep on drinking all the time. So this zebu also can drink a lot of water and store it up, and it doesn't have to keep on drinking all the time. So it makes life easier for the farmers if they're raising zebu. So they wanted to introduce zebu in Eretz Yisrael. So the Chazon Ish made a whole tumult that the Chochmas Adam lived in Vilna. And the Chochmas Adam understood the Shach as if he said, the simple reading of the Shach is not so. The simple reading of the Shach, he said that we only eat chaylev chaya if we have a masar that this animal is a chaya, not a behema. We don't rely on judging the shape of the horns on our own. So the Chochmas Adam understood the Shach is saying we don't eat an animal, period. We don't eat any animal unless we have a masorah that it's a kosher animal. So the Chazon Ish said that the Chochmas Adam was a dayan in Vilna. He lived in Vilna. And he apparently, and the Shach lived in Vilna. So the Chochmas Adam understood that this was the meaning in Vilna. So the Chazon Ish said, fine, you can introduce zebu, but after all the Litvaks in Eretz Yisrael won't be able to eat it. So he made a big fuss about this. So then they have a whole correspondence between the Chazon Ish and Rav Herzog. So the Zibu animal has malager, mafis parsa, but there was no tradition on it. So Rav Herzog said, but they claim there is a tradition that the religious Jews who lived in India used to eat the Zibu, they used to shech that and eat it. So there is a masorah. So the Chazon Ish said, sent him back a letter. No, you have to have davka masorah, which is supported by Talmid HaChachamim. True, there were religious Jews who lived in India, but they didn't have any Talmid HaChachamim there. So Rav Herzog gave in. So this was for quite a few years. This was the practice that they didn't allow the zebu in Eretz. But then after a while, they used to breed zebu with a regular cow. And it came out that they came to, which is Osir, so non-Jews did it, that's Hakobas Behemoth. The Gemara even said there's a machlokes Satanoim and Sanhedrin in the sugya of Ben Noach around Daf Nun Ches. Ben Noach, Nun Ches, Nun Tes, so there's a machlokes Satanoim there. There are Tanaim who seem to hold that Hakobas Behemoth is also for non-Jews as well. So they didn't ask Shaila. So the non-Jews were breeding the cows with the Zebu, and they came to the realization that if you have, I forgot which direction, 3/8 one way and 5/8 the other way, either 3/8 cow and 5/8 zebu, or 3/8 zebu and 5/8 cow, then it has all the milas, because the flesh, the meat of the zebu doesn't taste as good as the meat of the cow. And the zebu has a mila, so the cow has a mila that the meat tastes better. And the zebu has a mila that doesn't have to drink so much water. So the goyim were cross-breeding the zebu with the cow. So they came to the realization that if you do 3/8 and 5/8, then it has them both milas. That tastes good, the meat tastes good, and it doesn't need all that water. After they were crossbreeding these two animals, so then they came to the realization that that we have a masorah that the cow is kosher. Everybody eats cow meat. And the Gemara says in the first parak in Bechoris that kosher and non-kosher animals cannot breed together. That if they'll be niskokim zelazah, they won't be able to have vladas. So here, if they're breeding the zebu with the cow, so the fact we have a masorah and the cow is a clear-cut indication that the zebu is kosher as well. So now the mice, they sell zebu in Eretz Yisrael. They import it from Argentina. For many years, I think they still do. The shechita wasn't done in Eretz Yisrael. They used to shech the animals in Argentina and ship the meat to Eretz Yisrael. So they used to shech zebu also. So they started, I remember, a couple of years ago, maybe around 10 years ago, I don't remember. There's a whole tumult before Shabbos Parsha Zohar, that in America, in New York, Shabbos is 7 hours later than Eretz Yisrael. So we heard on Erev Shabbos, a whole tumult that in Bnei Brak, they started a whole tumult. Whoever prepared cholent on Shabbos shouldn't eat the cholent because they came to the realization that they're serving zebu, that they're selling the zebu flesh in the stores. And the Chazon Ish b'shaito, Chazon Ish of the 1950s, said you shouldn't eat zebu. But then, in the course of a half a week, the whole tumult was over, because they came to a realization. They've been hyped. They've been breeding the zebu with the cows for so many years. So obviously, the masara that you have in the cow carries over to the zebu. And many of the Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos were written on parchment that they got from the Zebu. So if you're going to say that the flesh is Asa, it means that it's a Behemoth Temeah, then you're going to pass all the Sefer Torah, all the Mezuzos, all the Tefillin. So that was the end of that story.
According to the Shach, is it just the Indian Chaylev or all the differences between Chay and Behemoth?
I don't know. The Pashup Shat in the Shach is that he's talking about, only talking about Chaylev. I don't know. This parsha of Malager Mafis Parsa is repeated in Parshas Re'eh, and Rashi there quotes from the Gemara that what was it repeated for? Everything is exactly the same. So he says it was repeated because of Shesua. Shesua is an animal that is Malager Mafis Parsa, and it's still also Bachila, despite the fact that it has the both Simani Tahara. Malager Mafis Parsa. Poshib Shah Achazelo Sochl Malayagera Mafise Ha Parso Hashsuwa. So the Poshib Shah is Hashisuwa is an adjective describing the behemoth. Marfisei parso hashsuah. It has a split hoof. So the Gemara says no. Marfisei parso colon hashsuah. The first animal. Then es hagamol is the second animal. That's how the Gemara says. Shesuah is a separate animal in Parshas Re'eh. So what is Shesuah? It has Malagera and Mafis Parsa, and it's still also Bachila. Why? What's? How do you know maybe any given animal is a Shesuah? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, no, Shesuah means it has Shnei Gabin and Shnei Shedros. Has a double spine. So the Gemara has a Masechas Nida, the Gemara has a Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel. Does such a min animal exist? There's such a thing that exists, and it's Moilid Vladis in the jungle somewhere in Africa. There is such an animal, and it's still, despite the fact that it has Shnei Gab and Shnei Shedros, it's also, or should we assume no? Such an animal cannot exist, it'll be a Nefel, it's not Shaykh. So what is the Chumash talking about, an animal that doesn't exist? If you have a Ben Pekua, Rashi points out, and today said, the institution of Ben Pekua is learned out from the Pasuk in today's Sedra. It says, Zos achaya shetachlu, and then it says ba behema. What do you mean ba behema? You can eat a behema that's inside another behema. If I shech the mother and the mother is muberis, I shech the sa muberis, mutalishchet esa uber, you don't eat shchit on the uber. That's called the ben pekua. Ben pekua. They once they asked on a smicha bechina, what's a ben pekua? So the boy thought ben pekua is a tana, like ben zayma, ben azay. Probably got a smicha anyway. Ben pekua is in hilcha shchita. So ben pekua means the mother is a pekua. The shach says that the mother's body was nifko, mother's body was opened up, and the uber came out after the shechita on the mother. That's called the ben pekua. Mother was the pekua, and the vlad is the ben pekua. So it's menataris muta b'shechita simo, doesn't require its own shechita. But the rabbanim shum arisayin, the Mishnah says if hifis agabi karka, if the ben pekua is running around, so then mid the rabbanim shum arisayin eat shechita. The whole discussion in Yeridei, whether you say bracha on the shechita, when you do a mitzvah, mishum arisayin, do you say bracha or not? So the Gemara says, if one should assume that based on biology, such an animal cannot live, cannot survive. If it has shnei gabin and shnei shadros, it's not going to survive. So what is the Chumash talking about a shesua and parshas re'eh? Gemara says, oh, it's talking about a ben pekua shesua. Usually, if you have, let's say, kolut b'mei para, let's say, ashech the cow and the cow is pregnant, then after you shech the cow, it comes out that the ben pekua was a camel. Abnormal. Usually a cow gives birth to a cow, and a camel gives birth to a camel. So there was an anomaly, an abnormal development, and a cow gives birth to a gomel. So a ben pekua, if you have a ben pekua shesua, that would be us. If you would have a ben pekua, a camel, a gomel, that's called the Meipara, so that would be mutter. But if you have a ben pekua shesua, that's us. So this is a machlokes in the Gemara, machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, and we treat it as a sfeika d'dina, whether we don't know whether such an animal exists or not. So it's interesting that Torah Tamima quotes Akasha on that pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, that he read, and it's not his kashas before. He read in a book on biology that such an animal does exist in the African jungles. There is an animal that has malager, mafis paris, and has shnei gabin and shnei shadros, and it's a min behema, and it exists. He tells you what the name of the animal is. So, memele, if you see that such an animal does exist, so we ought to say that ben pekua shesua should be mutter. And yeriday, we paskin that it's also. So we should reverse the psak in the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara had a machlekes, whether the pasuk is speaking about such a min behema, because such an animal can't exist. No, the animal can't survive. Must be the pasuk. It's only talking about ben pekua shesua. Remember when we learned that in Yeridei, as the Rabbi Soloveitchik said, you shouldn't think that it's a... The Gemara is talking about chalaimus. He says he used to... Part of his parnasa was, in the early years, when the yeshiva hardly paid anything to the rabbeim, so he had to have a hashgacha job on the side. So he used to give a hashgacha on the slaughterhouse in Boston. So he says he used to visit once a week to make sure that they're doing everything properly. He said he saw quite a few times ben pekua shesua. It's not such a rare thing. So that's where the Torah Tmima raises an issue. Maybe we should reverse the psaka and the Shulchan Aruch, that now that we know that they write in the books that such an animal does exist in the African jungles, So the pasuk is going on that animal. That's malager mafis paris and has shnei gabin and shnei shadras. But if it be a ben pekush, then it should be muta, like a kolad ben para. Like if a para gives birth to a gamal, it'll be muta. Ben pekush muta, even if it is muta with the simonim of the mother, it doesn't have to have its own simon. That's the Torah Tamim is taina. So the Torah Tamim was written a long time ago, in the early 1900s. So recently, about 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, every so often they have an international conference of scientists who study animals. So they had a conference and they came to the realization that they made a mistake, that they had misidentified this animal. It's always chewing. So they thought that it's malagera. It's not malagera. A person is always chewing chewing gum. It's not called a malagera. Malagera means that food is digested in the stomach, then it goes back to the mouth. Then it goes back to the stomach, then it goes back to the mouth. But if the animal is always chewing, that's not called a malagera. In Yiddish, you say a guy's always chewing, so you say he's a malagera. It's a behemoth Torah. Malagera is a behemoth Torah. It's not so bad, but he's a behemoth. Okay. So, but strictly speaking, that's not called. So that's not called a malagera. So it's simply it was misidentified. For 100 years, they misidentified, and all the big non-Jewish scientists of the world, they thought that that animal in the African jungles was a malagera, and it really wasn't. So we can understand why the Chochmas Sodom understood the Shach is saying that you shouldn't eat any animal based on your own identification, malager, mafis, parson, unless you have a masur. You may be misidentifying, may be making a mistake. You may think, look, all the scientists in the world, they thought that this animal in the African jungles was a malager. Then 100 years later, they came to the realization that it wasn't a malager. It's not a malager. How do you identify whether any given fish is kosher or not? So the pasuk says you need snapa v'kaskeses. Yes, snapa v'kaskeses by fish. It's not shaykh the daki tshuva. And Yerudea quotes from the tshuvas of the son of the Rosh. What's his name? Rabbein Yehuda, I think, the son of the Rosh, the brother of the Tur. That in fish, nobody holds that you need a masor. There are tens of thousands of different minim of fish all over the world, different minim. It's impossible to insist that you need a masor on fish. Or you need a snapi the kaskeses. Then it says in Yeridei that the kaskeses doesn't have to have any specific shape. As long as it's a kaskeses, it is good. Even if it only has one kaskeses, it's also good. It doesn't have to be coated all over with kaskeses. The swordfish has snapi the kaskeses. The kaskeses of a swordfish is not the same is the kaskeses of the standard fish that we eat. But strictly speaking, the swordfish is really kosher. That's what Acharonim talk about, the cheref, the dag ha-cheref, the swordfish, they call it dag ha-cheref. So they say that it's kosher. There's a whole history in America why we don't. But in Eretz Yisrael, in many kosher restaurants, they serve swordfish. I'm not an expert, and someone gave me a swordfish, and they asked me, can I find a kaskes? And I said, yeah, I kept on finding kaskeses, a lot. Has many kaskeses. In South Africa, they eat the king clip. It's a fish. That's a whole, that was always a machloikis. Reb Chaim Moshe had a brother-in-law who lived in South Africa. And he paskin, that's what they quote, and he paskin that this king clip was kosher because it has snap of a kaskes. The question is the kaskosos, the body is covered over with kaskes, but the kaskes of the king clip is very soft. It's the consistency of skin. It's not plastic at all. Usually a kaskes, the scales are like a piece of plastic, a little piece of plastic, and it's supposed to protect the skin of the fish. So that was always a big machlekes. The Rabbonim, the Besdin in South Africa, still follows the tradition that the king clip is kosher. There are those who don't go along. How does one determine whether a bird is kosher or a treif? So the psukim don't give any simonim at all; just gives you the list of all of the non-kosher birds: nesha, peres, osnia. So you have to know what's the whole list of the non-kosher birds, and everything else is going to be kosher. The Mishnah in Chulin, in the end of Perek Elu Trefus, has a whole complicated sugya of Nesher. Long, balamor, complicated sugya. So the Mishnah in Chulin gives you simonim. The Tanoim say that there are several simonim, how to identify atzad hashoveh of all of the birds, how to identify whether any given bird is kosher or treif. So the Gemara says there that on one occasion the Amoraim met up with a new bird that they never had. We eat chickens and we eat ducks. They had a new bird that they never had a tradition on. So they looked at it and it had all simonim, it was kosher, so they ate it. And then after a while, after a couple of months, they came to the realization that they had miscalculated, that it didn't have the simoni tara, so they stopped eating it, and they decided that it's also bachilu. So Rashi writes on that Gemara, if the Amorai made a mistake, so we can make a mistake also. So Rashi writes, you see from this Gemara that it's a strong recommendation not to eat any birds unless you have a masar, that it's a kosher bird, because you may misjudge, you may think that you have all the simonim, and you won't. That's a good question. Mr. Taisus will discuss it. I don't know. Taisus has a lot of discussions about the Gemaras that seem to contradict that Gemara by Rav Pinchas Ben Yoy. Yeah. So the Ramon Shulchan Aruch quotes this. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch writes, if you have all the simonim to identify that any given bird is kosher based on the Mishnah, then it's mutter. And the Ramon says, quotes the Yisra the Heter of the Rabbeinu Yoina, who says, based on this Rashi, that Ashkenazim have a minik, Svardim follow the simonim. If it has simoni tara, it's mutter. And Ashkenazim follow this minik that Rashi recommended, that unless you have a masora, you shouldn't eat a new bird because it may be, you may be misjudging. That was the whole issue regarding the turkey. When Columbus came back to Europe and he brought the turkey to that part of Europe, so they never had a masorah. The religious Jews never had a masorah on the turkey that it was an iftar. So what happened was that he came to Spain, and in Spain they're all Svardim. So the Svardim followed the Mechaber says it has simoni tara, it's mutter. And then after 50 years or so, the Ashkenazim saw that the most religious Jews, they're eating the turkey, so they assumed they must have a masorah, that it's kosher. So all the Ashkenazim started eating the turkey. So that's when others started to tell them, what do you mean? We never had a masorah on the turkey. So the Sfardim don't require a masorah, but the Ashkenazim have this minik from Rashi, and from the Ramah quoting the Sivaheta, based on the Rashi, that you shouldn't eat any birds unless you have a masorah on it. So that was the big tumult about the turkey. The descendants of the Shaloh don't eat turkey. Rabbi David Horowitz is a Rebbe in Yeshiva, is a descendant of the Shaloh. His name was Horowitz. So he said, Rabbi Horowitz told us that there are members of the family who will eat chazer on Yom Kippur. The turkey they wouldn't eat, because that's the tradition from the Shaloh, not to eat turkey. Yeah, it's not a separate Issa. Turkey means, if you eat chazer, you can eat turkey also. But it's a chumrah, not to eat turkey. It has all the simoni tara, but not to eat turkey because there's no masorah on it. So that was a big machlokes. So some of the svarim wrote, no, that some of the Indians were from the lost 10 tribes, and they had a masorah that the turkey was kosher. We haven't met yet those Indians who are descendants from the lost 10 tribes. And they never said that they had a masorah that the turkey was kosher. One of the Acharonim came up with this wild idea that Columbus heard from the Indians that had a masorah that the turkey was a mintah. That's a bit of a joke. The pasuk says that if these animals die and they didn't have a proper shechita, so then it's an iser nevela, and not only is it an iser to eat it, it's mentami also. So the pasuk says you're not allowed to eat them. Uvenivlosam lo sigau. You're not allowed to touch it either. What do you mean? Why are you not allowed to touch a nevela? So it'll be mentami you. Uvenivlosam mibsaram lo sechelu. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, "Binivlosim losigo" goes on Shalosh Regalim. It doesn't go all year long. Even a Kohen who's muzer al atumah is only muzer on tumas meis adam. A Kohen is allowed to dissect a dead frog. He's allowed to dissect. He's allowed to touch a dead animal. He's only muzer not to touch a meis adam. So what does the pasuk mean? Binivlosim losigo goes beregel. Chai vadam latar atzma beregel. On Shalosh Regalim, everybody has to be tohar. So this is a big discussion. You look on the last page in the Mishnah Berurah Chelek Hei. The Shari Tshuva quotes the whole discussion. This halacha still apply even as manazeh that everybody has to go to mikvah erev yontif. Chayav adam tayratz ma baregel. Or do you assume no? The Shari Tshuva quotes from the Shagazaria. Shagazaria has a tshuva. He says bizman shabes amigdush hayikayim. And Yeruah called Zechorcha, and all the men have to enter into the Azora and bring korbanos, and you have to eat the Shalmei Chagiga and Shalmei Simcha. So of course you're going to be tummy. You won't be able to participate in Riyah Chagiga and Simcha. You won't be able to be Ole Regel. You have to walk in the Azora. But Bizman Hazeh, there is no Beis HaMikdash. How can it possibly apply Bizman Hazeh? So that's a big machlokes. The Rosh in the end of Yuma quotes the Rav Sadia Gaon, who's says that you have to be toivel in a mikvah and erev yom kip and you say a bracha. So the Rosh understood the Rav Sadia Gaon is saying chai varam taratz mebregel even applies to yom kippur. So he disagrees. He thinks it only applies to sholosh regalim. But that's what the Shagazari says. Even if it would apply, but it's only on bizman shebeis hamikdash you can't to be able to enter the azara. Bizman hazeh, the whole thing doesn't apply. It's usually assumed that Chayv Adam Latar Atzma Beregel only applies to Yamim Tovim, Sholosh Regalim, doesn't apply to Shabbosim. So some Achrenim give an explanation why, that the Hashpoh, the influence of Shabbos is so powerful, the Kedusha of Shabbos, so much more powerful than the Kedusha of Yontif. Shabbos can influence you even if you're in a state of Tumah. But Yontif, if one assumes that the Din of Chayv Adam Latar Atzma Beregel even applies Bezman Hazeh, not like the Shagasar said. Why does it apply Bizman Hazeh? You're not entering the Azara. The answer is because that's what they explain. That the Kedusha Yom Tov is not as powerful as Kedusha Shabbos, so it can only have an influence on the Bnei Yisrael if we're in a state of Tahara. If we're in a state of Tumah, so the Kedusha Sayom of Yom Tov will not be able to leave a Rosh Hamanas. But Shabbos is so powerful, that Kedusha can have an effect on us even if we're in a state of Tumah. Rabbi Yosef Engel points out there is a Gemara in Chagiga, in the second paragraph in Chagiga, where the Gemara talks about people going to mikveh for Shabbos also. So it seems to contradict this notion that many Hasidim go to mikveh after the Shabbos. They don't go all week long. They don't go. Real Hasidim go to mikveh all the time because Balkari, the choshish for the Shitas Haravid. The Gemara says that Ezra made a takana that a Balkari is not allowed to daven and a Balkari is not allowed to learn Torah. Then in the later generations, many years later, Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera did away with the takana that a Balkari is not allowed to learn, and he said based on the pasuk in Yeshaya, Halakho Dvori Koesh Niyum Hashem, Ma Esh Eni Mekabel Tumah, Afti Retari Eni Mekabel Tumah. So even if a person is a Balkari, he's allowed to learn Torah. So what about davening? Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera didn't say. Did he do away with the Takanas Ezra even when he get to davening? Or he only did away with the Takanas Ezra when he get to learning Torah? So that's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Raivin. So the Rambam writes that once he did away with Takanas, so you don't have to go to mikveh for davening either. And nonetheless, the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah, in the Yad HaZaka, he writes that he personally always went to mikveh before he davened. That's what he writes. And the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. We don't have the Ravid in the Hasagas, but the Rosh, in the end of the second Perek in Brochus, quotes the Ravid as disagreeing with the Rambam. And the Ravid holds Mikra Din, that the Takana Ezra was only abolished by the later Tanoim vis-a-vis learning Torah. They never abolished the Takana with respect to davening. So every person who's a Balkari has to go to Mikra in order to be able to daven. So that's what many Rishonim Achoshish for that opinion. And they would go to mikveh every time they wanted to daven. That's but the Hasidim, most of the Hasidim go to mikveh whenever they want to daven. And others only go to mikveh for Shabbos and Yontif, because they assume the Chai Varam Taratzma Beregel doesn't only apply to Regel, it even applies to Shabbos as well.
Yes. Can Balkari be tovel and non-children?
The Gemara says, "Benegeta takana says Rabbi Alkeri can't be toiv l'maim shuvim. If he'll be toiv l'maim shuvim, he won't. He'll still be tamei. Maim shuvim is no good for tefila, even for Baal Keri to remove the tumah. But to remove the takana says, what the Gemara says, maim shuvim is okay. Gemara just says he can't be toiv in a kli. Let's say you have a bathtub that's not cemented into the ground. So tefila in a kli is more chomer than tefila maim shuvim. Maim shuvim is good for the Baal Keri to remove takana sezra, and tefila b'kli is no good. That's a Gemara in brachas. The Rambam in the Sefer Achinuch understand that there's a mitzvah livdok b'simonei. The Rambam writes it's a mitzvah livdok b'simonei behema. It's a mitzvah to check the behema before you shecht it to make sure that it has malager mafis parsa, and it's a mitzvah to check the fish before you eat it to make sure that it has snapa v'kaskesis, and a mitzvah to check the simani ha'of before you eat the off to make sure that it's kosher. So what do you mean it's a mitzvah? Of course, if you're not going to check, you'll be eating non-kosher. So the Minchas Chinuch says, no. Let's say you didn't check, and then it turns out later on that it was a kosher bird. It was a kosher animal. So igloy milson mafreh that everything was kosher, but still, you're mevatel this mitzvah. There's a mitzvah libdek b'simonim. And then they quote from the Rivosh, but still, it was a suffix deraisa l'chumra. So still, what do you need a mitzvah livdak? So the Rivosh says, no, what if you have, let's say, there's a roiv. The roiv is, the all the fish over here have snapa v'kaskeses. Ruba, the ruba of the fish have snapa v'kaskeses. That's what the pasuk says, not to rely on the roiv. You should be bodik b'simonim. Yeah, l'maisa, do they bodik b'simonim? The tuna fish company, they don't have any Jews checking all the simonim over there. The goyim check to make sure. So how is one in fulfillment of this requirement mitzvah livdak? That's the Rabbi Tendler always tainus. You're not allowed to eat the regular tuna fish because no one is being bodik b'simonim. Rabbi Tendler has a lot of tainus. I was in Rabbi Tendler's class the first year of high school here in Yeshiva when I was bar mitzvah. So he had tainus then against the tuna fish. He has a lot of tainus. This is one of the tainus that he had. Who is fulfilling the mitzvah livdak b'simonim? So the Darki Tshuva from the Munkacher writes, the mitzvah livdak b'simonim doesn't only apply to fish, it applies to animals also. So every time a sheikh checks an animal, he checks to make sure that the animal, he stands and he investigates that the animal is malager mafis parsa. He doesn't check to see malager mafis parsa. He sees that it's a cow, so he checks it. So what happened to the mitzvah livdak b'simonim? So the Darki Tshuva writes, it's a dover poshet that the mitzvah livdak b'simonim only applies if you don't know what the min of the behemah is. You don't know what the min of the fish is. But if you know what it is, you know that this is a cow. And we have already established from the days of Adam HaRishon that all the cows have malager mafis parso. Then you don't have to be bodik b'simonim. The Darki Tshuva says it has to be like that because the Gemara has a comment. Kol shelo snapa v'kaskeses b'mayim. What kind of a lashon is that? B'mayim says, why do you say again a second time b'mayim? So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, there are a lot of fish that have fins and scales, but when you catch the fish, all the scales fall off. It only has the scales while it's in the water. And as you're about to pull it out of the water, all the scales fall off. So if all the scales fall off, who's going to be bodik b'simonim? Someone was bodik b'simonim in the water. They catch hundreds of fish, b'vasacha, so who is bodik b'simon? So the Darki Tshuva writes, no, we've already established that carp is a min tahar, and gefilte fish is a min tahar, whatever, joking. And we have certain fish that we know that they're a min tahar. So once you know that the tuna fish is a min, there are three different types of tuna fish that they prepare for human consumption. They have yellow fin and skipjack. What's the third one? Albacore. There are many more kinds of tuna fish, but these are the only three that they prepare for Achilas Adam. There are other kinds of tuna fish that they make for Michael Behema. The human beings don't enjoy eating it. So these three, we have already established that they have malager mafis parso. So once you know, once someone establishes that these fish are albacore, a skipjack, a yellowfin, so mimele, you know that it's a mintar. Yeah, who do you have to have a Jew check to see that it's albacore? You need a Jew to check that. So that's the Gemara says, Beferish not so. The Gemara says, if the Nochrim, fishermen, caught the fish in a certain river, and we know that the fish in this river are always albacore, so in Shain, so the Gemara says that you don't have to check anything more. You're allowed to eat. You don't have to look for a snap of the kaskasis. The Rivosh said you don't go basar raiv, so even the Rivosh agrees. If you, there are different degrees of raiv. There's a 51% raiv, 61% raiv, 71%, 81%, 91%, 99% raiv. If you have a very high raiv, you can even, you're not even chayshish for sakonis nefashis. The Gemara says, l'hocha b'pekoch nefashis achar ha-raiv. So the Paschim say, but if it's a 99.99% raiv, then you do follow such a raiv. You're not allowed to be machal Shabbos because of a far-fetched suffix. Maybe there's echad mini elef alfi alofim that there's a chashash sakana. Person has a bellyache on Shabbos, so you rush him to the hospital right away. Nah, people have bellyaches. They have a, you have an ingrown toenail. So sometimes a person dies from an ingrown toenail. So you drive to the hospital. If it would have been a weekday, he wouldn't have taken off from work because he has a bellyache or because it has an ingrown toenail. So because it's Shabbos, he doesn't go to work. So now, therefore, he's going to drive to the hospital. Whatever he's not nervous about on the weekday, so that's not called a suffix sakon. Because it's a far-fetched chashash. If it's very, very far-fetched, 99.99% that there's no suffix sakona, so that's not even, that's such a good rive, it's even good when it comes to suffix sakonas nefoshes. So the Rivosh says, even if it's 95%, not so high, 95%, then also there's no chayva livdik b'simonim. The mitzvah livdik b'simonim only applies if you have a plain rive. If you have a superior rive, then even the Rivosh agrees that you're not mechayv. They quote in Shulchan Aruch like that. You're not mechayv to be biting. So in the fish companies, we know that this is albacore, we know that this is skipjack, we know that this is yellowfin. So there's no chayva livdik b'sima, as long as we know what it is. Taisus records, and the Mordechai records, all the Balei HaTaisus record, there was a big machlokes regarding a certain fish that the Balei HaTaisus has, whether barbuta is kosher or not. They don't explain what the issue is. What was the shaylah? One of the rishonim paskin that it's mutter. Then he had a dream, and in his dream he had a dream that he was feeding chazer to the public. So he woke up and he didn't know what it meant, and he understood because he paskin that the barbuta is kosher. So he backed out from his psak. The balach alayim told him that the barbuta is treif. Well, what's the issue with the barbuta? So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Hagoyas HaSmak, the Rabbein of Peretz has Hagoyas on the Smak. He's the first one who explains what the issue is. So there was some Rishonim were of the opinion that these simonim of Snapi veKaskesis only serve as simoni tahara if the fish has a tzuras dag. Let's say you have a fish, let's say there's a sea creature that has Snapi veKaskesis and it has legs and it has arms also. And it walks around, as a mermaid, let's say, and it has snapa vekaskesis. So it's also mutter. So that's a big question. That's a question. So a group of Rishonim held know that it's only mutter if it's a fish and it has to have a tzuras dag. So what says that tzuras dag? So they had a machlekes. Usually, when you have a fish and you have the nose over here, then you have a big fat fish. Then you have a tail over here. When you have the tail, so most of the kosher fish, the tail is indented. Like this. So this barbuta didn't have an indented tail. It was straight. So that was the big machlekes in the Rishonim. Many Rishonim held that that's not a tzuras dag. To be called a tzuras dag has to have an indented tail. If it's a straight tail, not. Yet we don't follow that opinion. We eat fish that have snapa vekaskesis where the tail is not indented. I think sole fish. The tail is not indented. So we don't accept that. That whole tumult about the barbuta, we don't hold like that. That's a shaila. Do we hold that even if the tail is unindented, it has a tzuras dag, but it has to have a tzuras dag? And if you have a mermaid, they'll have snapa vekaskesis, it'll taka be osir? Or do you say no? Any marine animal that has snapa vekaskesis, even if it doesn't have a tzuras dag, will be mutter. So this is a further discussion. Dor HaShulchan has that discussion. I think Dor HaShulchan holds that even if it doesn't have a tzuras dag at all, it doesn't at all, it's not at all a fish. It's a sea animal. Still, if it has snapa vekaskesis, he holds that it's mutter. No, others disagree. Yeah, the din is at sheretz, all of these, sheretz hamayim is osir, if you have bugs in the water. So the Chumash says that the sheretz hamayim is osir. If it doesn't have snapa vekaskesis, we call it sheretz hamayim. Any non-kosher fish, we call sheretz hamayim. So, of course, if it's not visible to the naked eye, then there's no prohibition. Yeah. But Tosfos writes in Erevin that visible to the naked eye doesn't necessarily have to be. Let's say sometimes these bugs of the Sheretz Amayim are translucent. So if you look in a cup of water, you can't really tell that there's any bug there. But when they start to swim around, it looks like fish swimming in a fish pond. You can see the water moving around, and you know that it's not that the wind is blowing. And that's why you don't see the bug itself, you don't see the insect, but you see it going back and forth. So Tyson says that's what the word sheretz means, sheretz. When it's running back and forth, then you can detect when it's still alive, and it's running back and forth, then you can detect it. The water from the water that we get has these little bugs in them. So by the time the water comes through the pipes, all the bugs are killed already, because the water comes with such a force, so all the bugs are killed. But if you take a bucket of water from the reservoir, which someone did, they brought a bucket of water to the yeshiva a couple of years ago, and mamish looks like a fish tank. You can't see the bugs themselves, but you see the obviously it's something there, swimming back and forth. So that's what Tyson said. That's called sheretz. You can see it. So let's say you have water from the reservoir, and you can see that it has bugs in it, and then you cook the water, killed all the bugs. So now they're not visible to the naked eye. So now just became mutter. So that's what the Darkei Teshuva says. That's a joke. What do you mean? If while it's alive, it would be visible. So just because you cooked it and you killed it, and now it doesn't run around, so that doesn't make it that it's mutter. So that's what the Maharam Shik has a tshuva. Someone asked him that the water in his city, it's a miotamatsui, it's not more than 50% of the time, but it's a significant miotamatsui that they find bugs in the water. So the Maharam Shik has a tshuva, so he writes that these copepods are found in every body of water in the world, but it's usually a mere chain of matzah. So therefore you're not mechuyev to filter the water. But he says, if in your community you tell me that it's a mere tamatzah, then the din requires that you have to filter the water. Then it goes into a discussion, are you permitted to filter the water on Shabbos? Is that the borer? So the Chaya Yodam writes in Hilcha Shabbos, based on Magen Avraham's, that if the Nochrim drink the water the way it is, we have to filter the water to remove these bugs. But the Nochrim drink the water the way it is, so if it's only for religious reasons that we filter the water, that's not called Pserlis. It's only called Eichel Pserlis, only called Bayer Eichel Metach Pserlis. If it's Pserlis, in a common sense term, if a Nochrim wouldn't want to eat it, that's what the Chayodim writes. So therefore the Chayodim says you're allowed to filter the water on Shabbos. And the Maharam Shik disagrees, and he says, no. He says, the reason why you don't have to filter the water, because usually it's a miyot chain of matzah. He said, not mechuyev to be worried about it. But if you live in a community where the water has a miyot matzah, that you'll find these bugs in it, then mikra edin, you mechuyev to filter the water. So then it's considered boira, then it's considered ochel b'solus, you're not allowed to. He writes that there was a minig that people would filter water for Pesach because maybe there's a mashu of chametz in the water. So he says, mikra din, you don't have to filter the water for Pesach. The whole thing is just a chomer. So therefore, you're allowed to filter the water on Shabbos and on Yom Tov as well. It's not an isur bor. But whenever you mechuyev medina to filter the water, let's say if there's a miyot hamotzei, then he thinks that you're not allowed to filter it on Shabbos. Yeah.
How does one determine whether in other words, if a mina matzah is, let's say, less than 10%, does that mean less than 10% of each within each glass of water within each sitting? And how does one determine that?
It's very unclear. The Michigan Yankiv came up with that 10%. He thinks that the mina matzah means 10%, less than 10%, the mina chena matzah. Rabbi Yashiv disagreed. He said 7%. Where did he get 7%? Because it says in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Ramban. It's the Ramban, the first perek in Chumen. It's in the Melchamas and the Chiddush Ramban. Came out word for word the same thing. Ramban writes that when you shecht an animal, you don't have to check for all of the 70 treifas. You only have to check for sirchas on the lungs. Based on the drashim, that's what he says, because the sirchas, the treifas of sirchas on the lungs, is a miyot hamotzi, as opposed to all the others that it's a mechein hamotzi. So how often does it happen that an animal is declared as a treifa because of sirchus on the lungs? So in America, it's over 10%. So Lechik said that when he used to give hashgach in the slaughterhouse in Boston, he used to use all the coolers on the books and more. He used to use a lot of coolers. And he said by him, it always used to be 14% of all the animals that they shechted properly had the treifas. Had sirchus on the lungs that you couldn't be make a lot. Apparently in Eretz Yisrael, and they used to complain that there were glut kosher slaughterhouses, but they only had 9% sirchus on the lungs. They said, how can it be? They're glut kosher, and I make a lot of everything on the books, and things are not on the books. They had a lot of coolers, and I have 14%. It's glut treif. He said, you can't rely. That's when he was very upset. You can't rely on the other slaughterhouses. They're not checking properly. There's something absolutely wrong over there. But in Eretz Yisrael, apparently the air is not as polluted as in America. So the percentage of treifas of sirchus on the lungs over many years is only 7%. The Rabbi Yashiv said, no. So you see that 7% is called miyot hamotzi. So it carries over to bugs in the water or bugs in the vegetables as well. So what does it mean? What do you mean 7%? So I thought the pashtus is, if one out of, let's say 10%, so that one out of every 10 cups of water that you take from the faucet is going to have a bug in it, and you plan to drink a whole cup of water, so then it's a 10% chance you're doing an avera now. If I'm only going to drink half a cup of water, say half a cup is only one chance in 20, then I'm doing an avera. So that's only 5%. Or let's say a person, there's a certain vegetable that it's less than 10%. Of a chance of eating a bug. What do you mean less than 10%? How much of the vegetable are you eating? So there's a portion, there's a size that they have as a portion. I enjoy eating vegetables, whatever. I'm on a diet, I'm only going to eat vegetables. I'm going to eat 6 portions. So you're going to eat 6 portions, but for someone else as a miyot hamotzi, for you will become a miyot hamotzi. You plan to eat a lot of vegetables in one session, in one sitting, so you just made it into a miyot hamotzi. I thought it depends on each person. Is it a miyot hamotzi that he's going to be doing an avera now in this sitting or not? Others have a different definition. So I don't know, I never understood what the alternative way to describe it is.
Is the question discussed in Shulchan Aruch or it's not?
No. How do you determine whether it's a miyot hamotzi? No, it's not discussed. The Darkei Tshuva by the Munkacher quotes the Mishkan HaSyankiv, who was a Ritvisha Mishkan HaSyankiv, known for Abchaim Valozhin. He was one of the early Talmidim in Valozhin Yeshiva. So he was kind. The Darkei Tshuva is mainly, he quotes Galatian Achrayin and Menun Garish Achrayin. So he was kind. He quotes the Mishkan HaSyankiv, who was not Galatian. He was not a Hungarian. He quotes him that as 10%. He leaves it like that, 10%. He doesn't have the Chumra, 7%. I remember of the author of the Shmir Shabbos Kehil Chosso was telling us that he used to travel to Argentina to supervise the Shechita of the meat that was brought into Eretz Yisrael. So he said in Argentina, there's only 5% of the geshachten behemoths had sirchus on the lungs. So he said, Rabbi Yashiv is going to be machma, 5% is also called miyot hamotzi. So he thought we don't have to be machma more than Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv said 7%, so we'll leave it at that. Just because in Argentina, apparently the air is less polluted than in Eretz Yisrael or whatever. So you have a lower percentage of sirchus on the animals. So he thought that's called the miyot chein hamotzi. Rabbi Yashiv said 7%, we'll leave it at that. Now we have to be machmer more.
Rabbi, for the bug situation, so if someone is machmer, would that be machmer for all these gamshes and water, like someone's brushing their teeth or something? Or would that go need if someone's drinking?
No, only if you're drinking it. If you're brushing your teeth, let's say you wash off the dishes. So you wash off. So the bugs are so tiny, 99.99999% of all the water goes off. So it's highly unlikely, it's one chance in 5 billion, trillion, zillion, million, that you're going to be left with a bug. Let's say when I brush my teeth, so there's one chance in 5 billion, million, zillion that I'm going to be left with a bug in my mouth. It's not going to happen. You know, that's a miyot chein hamotzi. If you drink a whole cup of water, that's questionable. That may be a miyot hamotzi. But if you're washing off dishes or you're just washing or rinsing your mouth or something, that's highly unlikely. That's not going to be a miyot hamotzi. The Torah writes, if you didn't shecht an animal and it died a natural death, so then it has a tumas nevela. So then the Torah lists off the Shmaina Shvatzim. There's a pair there. There are 24 prokim in Masechah Shabbat. So you have the Shmaina Shvatzim Hamurim Atorah. One of the prokim is Shmaina Shvatzim. So the Torah lists off these animals are Metameh B'maisim and Metameh B'maga. And if it's a behemah of a chaya that died, didn't have a proper shechita, metameh b'maga u'b'masa. And if it's Adam who died, then it's metameh b'maga b'masa u'ba ohal. Then the Chumash tells you what are the things that are mekabel tumah. So Adam, mekelim, ochel, memashkim are the four categories of things that are mekabel tumah. Ochlim, it says, kol ha'echal ashe yeyochel, has to be roi l'achilas Adam. If it's only grass, a hay, it's only roi l'achilas behemah, so that's not mekabel tumah. Hamashka sheishase, hamashkim are only mekabel tumah. If it's roi l'shtiyas sodom, it's only roi l'shtiyas behema, so it's not mekabel tumah. This is relevant for hilchas sukkah. This man says schach has to be gedule karka, has to have three conditions: gedule karka, tolush, and dovah sheini mekabel tumah. If you have apples or pears, that's gedule karka tolush, but it's dovah hamekabel tumah. But if you have hay, that's acceptable, even though the hay is meichel behema, because meichel behema is not mekabel tumah. So that's important for Hilchas Sukkah. In order to know what's kosher for Schach, you have to know which things that grow from the ground are mekabel tumah, which are not mekabel tumah. So Oichlam Mashkim are mekabel tumah. Then the Torah says, "V'chiyuta mayim al zera, v'nafal min v'losam olav tami hu lachem." That the oichel is only mekabel tumah if it had hechsher mashkim. You have to pour mayim. Mayim is lav davke mayim. Any one of the seven zayim mashkim yad shoch adam are the zayim mashkim that are machshel lekabel tumah. There is an interesting machlekes the Rambam and the Ravid. When you say that mashkim are mekabel tumah, does it have the same definition as mashkim that are machshel lekabel tumah? Oichel is only mekabel tumah if it was rinsed off. Let's say an apple is only mekabel tumah if it was rinsed off. While the apples are growing on the tree, it always rains. So the Chumash says, that an apple, while it's still attached to the tree, if it's still attached to the ground, it's not mekabel tumah. The Gemara says, not only not mekabel tumah, it's not mekabel hechsher either. When it rains on the apples that are growing on the tree, and I'm very happy that it's raining, I pour water on the apple. I have a hose and I'm pouring water on the apples. It's not mekabel hechsher while it's still attached to the ground, just like it's not mekabel tumah. So that's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, when you say that the halacha only recognizes the Zayin Mashkim, the Yad Shoch Adam, for the purposes of hechsher, oichlim. That oichlim is only mekabel tumah if it had hechsher. What about this din, that mashkim ma mekabel tumah? You say it's only the zayin mashkim ma mekabel tumah. Oh no, you say orange juice is also mekabel tumah. May Paris, also mekabel tumah. Raspberry juice, wherever, grapefruit juice, anything that's royla shtia sodom is mekabel tumah. It won't be maksha mekabel tumah. So that's a machloik, is the Ramam and the Raivin on the level of a din deraisa. So again, there are four categories of things that are mekabel tumah. Odom mekalim. Ochlam and mashkim doesn't mean food. Ochlam needs hechsher, mashkim don't need hechsher lekabel tumah. Mashkim, the Gemara's Loshen and Pesachim, mashkim alulim lekabel tumah. Mashkim are more susceptible to kabbalas tumah than ochlim, namely that you don't need hechsher lekabel tumah. Odom mekelim have tara b'mikveh. Ochlam and mashkim have no tara b'mikveh. If the ochlam and mashkim become tamei, so there's no way to be metairid. The Gemara talks a lot in different places, different mesichtes, mishnayos, and mikvos talk about if you have water, that's tameh, mayim, that's tameh. So if you do hashoka, you make the mayim tohor. So Rashi, every so often, a shas will pose that question, but Ochlam Mamashkim have no tarab and mikvah, so how come if you have mayim that are tameh, how come if you do hashoka, it has tarab and mikvah? So Rashi answered, that's not tarab and mikvah, that's a din of zriyah. Let's say I have an apple that was mekabel tumah, and I plant the apple in the ground and it takes root. Or I have a potato that was mekabel tumah. Once you plant it and it takes root, so the tumah disappears. So there's a pasuk that says, "Vezarei mayim al pnei chutzos." A pasuk in Yeshaya, I think. the Chumash uses the Tanakh uses the expression Zoreya with respect to Mayim. So if you have Mayim that are Tomei and they're connected with a mikveh of water that's Tahor, so that's considered as if you did Zriya, as if it took root on the ground, and that's why it's Mitahir. It's not that it's Mitahir because water has Tahir b'mikveh, no. Water is the same as all the other Rachel Mamashim. It has no Tahir b'mikveh. It's a separate din of Zriya. That's why the Chasam Sofer came up with a fantastic Kiddush. When you want to plant some seeds that they should grow, so if you just sprinkle the seeds on top of the earth, they're not going to grow. You have to dig a hole. You have to put the seeds in the ground, and you have to put offer milmailo. So you have to have offer on all six sides, northeast, southwest, on top and on the bottom. Milmailo, milamata, mikolatz dodim. So the Chasam Sofer came up with such a Kiddush. Let's say you have water that's tomei, and you want to make zriya. So he says, Zriya has to be the water that's Tamei, we have a din, that Maim Shuvim is no good for a mikveh. So how do you ever have, and we're always machmen, that all the water that comes through the faucet, we're concerned that maybe the Gemara Bava Kama has a din, Chakoko the Besof Kevo, if at first I made a kli that has a base kibbol and then I attach it to the ground, so even if the kli will have water passing through it, while it's mechubel akarka, usually a kli that's mechubel akarka doesn't have a shame kli. A kli has to be dafke by definition. Kli has to be tolush. If it's attached, doesn't have a din kli. But if it's first hakoka lebesof kevo, first I carved it out, it has a base kibbol, then I attach it to the ground, so the water that goes through it will become mayim shuvim, and the mikveh will be posel. So we're always machmer that maybe the pipes are constructed in such a way that pipes in the regular city water system that bring the water from the reservoir to our homes, maybe the pipes are such that they have a base kibble somewhere, so all the water that comes from the faucet, we're machmet to treat it like Maim Shuvim. So how do you ever have a mikveh? So you have to collect water from the rooftop to have it go into a bore in the ground. Yeah, everyone's going to be tovel in the same water. The water's going to be filthy. So the answer is no. We have one bore next to another bore. So we have one bore of water that comes from the tap. You fill it up. So a couple of people will use it. Then it's going to get dirty. Then you empty it out. But the water that comes to the tap, we're machmer that that's mayim shuvim. So we do a hashoka. So we have a bore of water that was collected on top of the roof, and it goes down a chute. It was never contained in any kli. That's not mayim shuvim. Then you have another bore, the bar hatfilo, where people are toivol to remove the tumah. And the one bar is connected with the other bar through hashoka. So the Chasam Sofer came up with this chiddush that hashoka is not sufficient. You have to have dafke zriya. You have to have not one bar next to the other bar. That's what we call hashoka. You have to, the Chasam Sofer coined a new expression. You need zriya. Zriya means you should have a hose with water coming from the faucet. And we're concerned that the water from the faucet is all mayim shuvim. So the hose should open up. Let's say this is a room that's full of water. This is a bar that's full of water. So we should open up the hose in this room, and then it'll be zriya. All the water all around, on top and on the bottom, northeast, southwest, and all the six directions, all the water is mayim tahorim, which is not shuvim. So then if you do zriya, then it's metaher, the mayim tmeim. And then it removes the status of mayim shuvim. So then, yeah, but you're not going to be tovel in this mikveh. So that's what the Chasam Sofer introduced. That's what they cost another $250,000 to make a mikveh. Because of the Chumrah Chasam Sofer, it costs much more money to make mikvahs. So you have to have the water, the hose should bring in the tap water into the middle of a mikveh, and then the water level will rise, and then there's a hole on the sides, and then the overflowing water will go into the next bar. So that was the Chumrah Chasam Sofer. Instead of having the water from the tap go into one bore and have a connection between the bore that has the water from the roof and the bore that has the water from the tap, that's hashoke, you should dafke do zriya. But then that brings with it kulis. If you're going to do zriya, visualize, let's say, this room is all full of water that came down from the rooftop that was never contained in any kli. So it's not mayim shuvim. So then if you're going to have the water from the tap is going to, you have a hose from the tap, the water is going to go into this big room, and then it's going to overflow and go, the overflowing water is going to go into the next bore. The people are going to be tovel in the other bore. So after you do this a few times, you're going to do zriya a few times, it's going to come out. You're not going to have a rave of the water in this big container, in this big bore, is not going to be from the original water, because the water that from the tap is going to get mixed in with the water that was here from before. And it's going to be a mixture, and it's going to overflow. So much of the water that was here from before is going to be overflowing, going into the other bar. So the Mishnah has it in that if Nosan saw, Venotal saw, you had a mikvah of what he saw. The Mishnah is talking about the following case. You have a mikvah of what he saw, then you pour in some white wine, colorless wine. So wine is no good for a mikvah. The Chumash says that tvila has to be b'mayim. Ach mayim, a bor mikveh mayim yihi ator. Mayim to the exclusion of mei peres. It can't be tovel and mei peres, that's a din derais. So so let's say you had a mikveh that has 40 saw, and you poured in a gallon, a saw, let's say, of mei peres. And it's a colorless wine. So the mikveh is still good. So then, let's say, then you leave out a saw of water. So you have now, you have left 39 saw of water, and one saw of mei peres, but it's good because the roiv is water, so the mei peres is bottle beroiv. Then you do this 20 times. You pour in another gallon of mei peres, of colorless wine, and take out a gallon of water. You pour in another, so the Mishnah says, you do this many times over, ad rubai. This is acceptable up until you reach the point of roiv. If you only had 40 saw to begin with, and you did this stunt 20 times, so then there's a far-fetched possibility. It's highly unlikely, mathematically it can't be, that maybe you have 21 saw of mei peres and only 19 saw of water. It can't be because the mei peres got mixed in with all of the water. So when it goes, when you're not also, when you take out a saw of water, not just taking out water, you're taking out a mixture of water and mei peres. But nonetheless, that's what the Mishnah says. We allow nasan saw and not also. If Nasan saw, you have a mikvah of 40 saw, and you poured in a saw of mei peres, and you let out a saw of water, we only allow that up until 20 times. Over 20 times, you're afraid, maybe the rov is no longer water, maybe the rov is mei peres. So that's the chumrah that appears in the Mishnah. So the Rambam and the Ravid both say the same wild chiddush, that chumrah of Nasan saw and Natan saw doesn't only apply if you're pouring in mei peres and letting out water. It even applies if you're pouring in maim shuvim and you're letting out water. That's a pellet. Doesn't make any sense. Why? If you're pouring in maim shuvim, the minute you do hashoke, it's no longer maim shuvim. There's no longer maim shuvim. So what do you care if you let out more nasan sov and otas sov maim shuvim? But nonetheless, that's how the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah. And the Raivin and the Balei HaNefesh writes the same. The Raivin and the Hasog, they don't say one way or the other. Doesn't agree, doesn't disagree. But in the Balei HaNefesh, he writes the same as the Rambam. They say the same wild chiddush. The Nosan Sov and Otasor applies not only as the Mishnah describes it to Mei Peres, even applies to Maim Shuvim.
Mei Peres,
the issue is an issue derais. It's not going to happen. If Nosan Sov and Otasor, what are you only letting out the water? The Mei Peres went and it got mixed in with everything. So when you leave out, when you open up a drain and a saw of water goes out, it's not going to be a saw of water, it's going to be a saw of water with mei peres mixed in. But that's a chumra mid rabbanon, ad rubai. Once you did it more than 20 times, you have to be choshesh.
If it would actually become
rov, yeah, then it's no good menater. Yeah, then it would be no good menater. But here by the maim shuvim, it's very difficult. So the Kesem Mishnah works hard to try to make sense out of the Rambam. So if you're going to do like the Chasam Sefer, if you're going to insist on Dafka having Zriya, instead of having one bor next to the other, and the bor hatfila is going to be maim shuvim, and the bor and the backup bor you're going to make hashoka to is going to be the water from the roof, and you do hashoka, so then this water can stay for centuries. The kosher mikveh can stay like that for centuries. But if you're going to do zriya, so you're putting the water from the tap into the bor that has the water from the rooftop, and then it's going to reach a certain level, it's going to overflow into the next bor. So after you do it a few times, it's going to be nasan sov and otas sov. You're not going to have a rave of the original mayim. You're going to have a rave of mayim shuvim already. So in Galicia and in Hungary, they were so keen about being machmir for the Chasam Sefer, so they ignored this Rambam and the Raivin. They were mekel on this. They were mekel on nasan sov and otas sov. Amayim Shuvim, because Mishnah only has Nasan Sam and Atan Sam May Peris. So they were Mekal on that. The Minchas Yitzchok has a tshuva about this. He quotes from Achsidish Sefer, is it good or not? The Shach says in Yeridei, you should be Choshish Lechatchila for the Rambam and the Raivin. That Nasan Sam and Atan Sam even applies to Amayim Shuvim. So what's the story over here? So the Minchas Yitzchok quotes from one of the Chassidish Svarim that obviously the mikveh is kosher, the Chassam Sofer is mikveh is kosher, because the Gemara tells us that if a woman didn't observe Taras HaMishpacha, so her children will be, Bnei HaNida will be Chatzufim. They'll be disrespectful to others. So we see, since the Chassam Sofer's Chumar was introduced, we see the children born from the Hungarian parents and the Galatiana parents, they're very fine, religious children. They're not chatzufim, so obviously the mikveh is kosher. But in heaven, in Gan Eden, all the neshamas are learning Torah, so the Rambam has his own yeshiva. So those neshamas are people who are born from such a mikveh, so the Rambam will not let them enter his shiur in heaven. So that's why the Menchas Yitzchak is all true, to try to make sense out of it. What's the thing is up? What did he say? Did he say it is good? He said it's no good. He said, on the one hand, obviously the mikveh is good, v'haraya, the children are not chatzufim. If they would have been a ben anida, they would have been chatzufim. So you see that it's a good mikveh. Then he says, but the Rambam has his own yeshiva and bezon shalmailo, and he doesn't allow them to participate in this year. So now they make mikvahs. Now they make mikvahs. They do both. They do zriya and they do hashaka. They do hashaka. They have two boiras of water from the rooftop. And in one of the boroughs, they have the water from the faucet goes in through a hose, and it goes in the middle of the mikveh, and then the level of the water rises, and it overflows into the other bor. Then the other bor get the bor hatfilah, where the people are going to be teifel, and then there's a hashoka between that bor and the other bor. The hashoka is the old way to do hashoka, not zriya. So according to the Chassam Sofer, that's no good. Only this is the way. So according to the Chassam Sofer, you always have Nasan Sam and Atan Sam. You're always going to have this problem.
Unless they keep track of how much goes in by rainwater and how much they're adding for the house.
But every day the women use the mikveh, so the mikveh gets dirty. So they empty out all the water and they start all over again. So they keep, so after five times, you're not going to have any of the original water left. You're going to have way less.
Hashaka, won't that also
eventually? No, you can have hashaka and the water will remain. The water will remain forever here.
If you leave
the neck of hashaka open, like where Hoshish. Also not. What they often do is like this, they have a bore, they have a bore that has more than our boy himself. And then they put a board in the middle of the bore to separate between the low water and the upper water, and they have a hole in that, a neck of hashaka, and then they have. So they do the hashaka between the upper part of this mikveh that stands here for 100 years, the upper part and the next bor hatfilah. And the water below the board stays like that for 100 years. It doesn't disappear.
Don't they say that it eventually will? Meaning it'll eventually get switched with the...
I don't think so. Mikvahs are very expensive now because they try to satisfy as many opinions as possible. Okay, so at the end of the parsha, you have the din. If a person is tameh, all the mekalim have tara b'mikveh, except for klicheres. The pasuk says if a klicheres is makabel tuma, also sishboru. The only way to be metari it is by breaking it. When it's broken, it no longer retains tuma. The din of shvira by a klicheres, that's the only way to be metari it. By other kelim, if you want to break it, you can be mitaret also. It's not a din that's only unique to kli cheres. Any kli, you can break it. But why should you break the kli if you can be tovel in a mikveh? The Gemara tells a story in the first perek in Shabbos. Gemara tells a story that all the kelim were tamei, and Shlom Tzion Hamalka wanted to be mitaret the kelim, and she should need Harav Shemesh. She should need Harav Shemesh. So she, if you toivel it in a mikveh, so you have to wait till Harav Shemesh if you're going to serve Truma. So she had the experts smash every single kli mateches, and Panim Chadosh is bo lekan, then they soldered it back together again. Then the Gemara said, there's no need for Hayra Shemesh. So because of that incident, she can do that. She was the queen, so she can spend $1 million to have a little party and have them smash all the forks and solder the forks back together again. She had a lot of money, and an average person can't do such a thing. So they made a chumim and the rabbanon up to me yushana, that if you had a kli mateches which you broke and then you soldered it back together again, so they were goyzim and the rabbanon that the tumah comes back. But minatora, that's taka the din. If you have the din of shviras hakelim, is mitahir not only by klicher, it's mitahir by any kelim. The pashtus is that shviras hakelim is mitahir because it doesn't retain a shame kli. Not only do you need a shame kli to be mekabel tumah, you need a shame kli to retain the tumah that it was mekabel. That's the poshim shan. There is a gemara. The gemara says that oichel pachas mikedetsa is mekabel tumah, but it's not. It can't transmit the tumah to something else. It's mekabel tumah, but it's not metami acherim. If it's oichel kibetsa, not only is it mekabel tumah, it's metami acherim as well. But pachas mikedetsa is mekabel tumah, it's not metami acherim. So there's a machlek, is Rashi and the Rabbein and Tam regarding that din. So Rashi holds that this is a din deraisa. Oichel pachas mikibetsa is mekabel tumah menator, but to transmit the tumah to something else, you need kibetsa. Rabbein and Tam says that Rashi is wrong. He interprets various gemaras against Rashi, that pachas mikibetsa is only mekabel tumah medirabon. There is no such thing that it's mekabel tumah menator, but it's not metami acherim. The fact that pachas mikibetsa is not metami acherim is an indication that the whole tumah itself is only medirabon. So the Rabbein and Tam brings as one of his proofs a statement from the Torah's Kohanim. The Sifro on this pasuk in the end of Parsha Shmini raises the possibility that also Sishboru, just like there's a din of Shviras HaKelim, it's Metar the Kli, so maybe there should be a din that Shviras HaOichelim should be Metar the Oichel. So if you had the Oichel that was Mekabel Tumah, Bikebetzel, and then you cut it in half, and each piece is now Pachas Mekebetzel, so maybe the tumah should disappear. So Talmud Lama, we learn from a pasuk that it's not so. That there is no halacha of shviras ha'oichlim. That shviras ha'oichlim is mitar. So the Rabbein and Tami asks, but according to Rashi, that even oichel pachas mikabetz is also mekabel tumah. So why should there be a havamina that it should be, that shviras ha'oichel should be mitarit? So you see that less than a kibetz is not mekabel tumah. And the whole minat Torah, it's only mekabel tumah with the Rabbanan. That's why there was a havamina, that if you had an oichel kebetza and it was mekabel tumah and you cut it in half, that now that it has less than a kebetza, maybe the tumah should disappear. So the Torah's kanim has a drasha that it's not so. Yeah, how's Rashi going to deal with that? According to Rashi, that oichel kochas mekebetza, Tosis raises this every time they have this whole attack against Rashi. Every other mesichta and shas, where they have this whole attack against Rashi, so they always bring this as one of their rais. They bring a lot of rais against Rashi. This is one of them. How's Rashi going to answer that taina? So the Chidushi Haran in Chulin writes, in the second parak in Chulin, he writes, apparently Rashi is of the opinion that Shviras HaKelim is Metahir, not because once you smashed it, it doesn't have a shame kli, and it can't retain the tumah. No. It's halacha that it's like a shock treatment. Shvira is Metahir. Shvira is Metahir. If you have a kli cheres and you chip off a little bit, that's not called Shvira. You have to smash it in such a way that it doesn't retain a shem kli. But the din is that shvira is metar. So that's why the Tanoim had a havamina that if you had oichel pikebetza was mekabel tumah, and then you cut it in half, so the havamina was that shvira will be metar, even though oichel pachas pikebetza is mekabel tumah. So what did you accomplish by cutting it in half? It still has a shear that it's oichel mekabel tumah. No, the reason why shvira is metar is because it's like shock treatment. So the havamina was that shvira should be metar.
Don't we say that, let's say you have like a kli, like a kli charis, and then you keep breaking the holes in until it's the size of a hole, then you fix it, a hole, then you fix it, and it gets the size of a remote.
Yeah.
So we say it's tohu, right?
It's what?
It's tohu. Once it gets to the size of a remote, even though you kept fixing the holes, so that's not really a shock treatment. That's like small parts of breaking off, fixing, small parts of breaking off, fixing. It's not one big smash, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. How would Rashi understand that Mishnah? Mishnah is like that. I don't know. Good to taina. Yeah, this is one of the chidushim of Kli Cheres, that Kli Cheres, also Sishbar, doesn't have tefillah b'mikveh. Because it doesn't have tefillah b'mikveh, the Gemara has a klal, the last daf in Masechus Erevin, kol davish ein latar b'mikveh, ein anasa av hatumah. Oichel memashim can never become an av hatumah. Let's say someone dies in a room, so he's avi avoy satumah. So all the other mekalim in the room become avatuma. The tuma is transmitted to other mekalim. It goes down one madrega from Abi Avois to avatuma. But ochlim and mashkim in the room have no tara b'mikveh, so they don't become avatuma. They become rishon l'tuma. It goes from Abi Avois of the mace. It transmitted to other to the ochlim and mashkim. They become a rishon l'tuma. Because ochlim and mashkim can have tara b'mikveh. Called davish ain't no tara b'mikveh. And a nasa avatuma. So the klicheris also can never become an avatuma, because it has no tarab and mikveh. Klicheris in the same, all the other kelim, kli matechas and kli eitz, would become an avatuma in the oil ha-meis, except for klicheris will become a rishon atuma. What are the other chidushim in klicheris? That's one din, has no tarab and mikveh. The other din is only mekabel tuma mitocho, not migabo. If you touch it on the outside, it's tahar. You only have to touch it in the inside. Then the third din is, it's mekabel tuma me'aviro. If I have a dead sheretz, I have one of the shmanu shvatzim hamur matara, and I have it tied on a string, and I have this string on top of the klicheres, and the sheretz is dangling inside of the klicheres. So the din is, it's mekabel tuma from the inside me'aviro. Even though the dead sheretz is not touching the walls of the kli, you don't even need mago. It's mekabel tuma me'aviro. All chidushim special dinim and klicheres. If a person is tummy and he sticks his finger inside, that's not mekabel tuma me'avir. You have to, the whole person should be inside. The finger is not metame. If you lower a sheretz in, so the sheretz kadasha is metame, but the finger is not metame. The finger is part of a whole body. So if a person will be lowered into a klicheres, so the klicheres will be mekabel tuma me'avir. But if he just sticks his finger in, then not. So these are big chidushim in Hilchas Kabbalah's Tumah of Kli Cheres.
It's mitocho and migabo.
What?
It's mitocho and migabo.
No, Kli Cheres only mekabel tumah mitocho me'aviro. You don't need maga, and on the outside, even with maga, it's not mekabel tumah minatir. Not mekabel tumah migabo. Only mekabel tumah mitocho. Mitocho is metame, even me'aviro, even without maga. And if other mekalim become tomei, leaving out klicheres, so then you could be mitayr by either going to a mikveh or going to a mayon, one or the other. Mayon means that an underground, the source of the water is from the underground sources, and the bor, the mikveh, where the source of the water is notvim. The Gemara talks about notvim, but the Mishnah talks about notvim and zochlim. Notvim means the rain or the melting snows, so that you need mikveh. Mikveh means cover the kaima. If it's zechlim, if it's moving, it's no good. And a mayon, by definition, is always moving. So a mayon is where the source of the water is from under the ground. The Tanoim knew about the water cycle. They know that all the water comes from the clouds. All the water is recycled now. All the water in the world from Sheshes Mebreshes is Mayim Shuvim by now. Every drop of water in the world has already been contained in a kli. But once it goes back to the sky, comes back again, so it's a panim chadash, is bo lekan, you start all over again. Even if it was tamei originally, by the time it goes into the cloud, it comes back now, it's no longer tamei, and it's no longer mayim shuvim, you start all over again. So this is problematic if everybody knows about the water cycle. The Gemara talks about the water cycle. All the water goes up to the clouds, comes down. So what do you mean? What is a mayim? What is a bor mikveh mayim? All the water ultimately comes from the rain. Everything is notvim. All the water in the world comes from the rain and from the snow. So how long does the water have to be under the ground when it shoots up that you declare that it has the status of a mayon? So that's a serious discussion that Mishkanes Yankev has about that. He introduced chumers. The mayon has to be far away from the river, because otherwise the water in the river came from the rain and the melting snow, and it just moved a little bit to the side. All of a sudden, it became a mayon. So how far away does the mayon have to be from the river that you say it has the status of a mayon? Yeah, so usually you have an option. And when a person is tummy, wants to become Torah, he has a choice either to be toivel in a mikveh or toivel in a mayon, one or the other. Is there ever a case that you require dafke a mayon? So the psukim say a zav. A man is a zav, can only be toivel in a mayon. A mikveh is no good. Yeah. When else do you need mayim chayim? Mayim is called mayim chayim. When else does halacha need mayim chayim? So you have in Parshas Metzora, when the Metzora becomes tohor, the sickness clears up, So you have to take shtei tzibboim chayis tahoris veitzeris and shnisei laws, and you have to take mayim chayim el kli cheres. You have to use mayim chayim, water from a mayon, in order to shech the tzipar hashchuta al gabi hamayim hachayim. Then you do hazor 7 times on the odom tomei. So that has to be, that says beferish in the first few psukim in mitzor, that has to be dafke mayim chayim. And the same it has in parshas chukas. If a person is a tummy mace, you have to take ashes from the Por Aduma. You have to pour the ashes. You have to throw some of the ashes. Menasan Allah, Maim Chaim Al Keli. You take Lokhula Tamei Mi Afar Sreifas Hachatos. You have to take, it's not really offer, it's Afer with an Aleph, but the Pasuk says offer. You have to take ashes from the Por Aduma. Take one speck of an ash and put it into a big container of water. So all of that water is good for Hazor Shlishi Shvi to begin the Tahara process of the Tamei Mesa. These are the three areas in Halacha where we insist Dafke on Mayim Chaim. The Zav has to be Toivel. When he's Tamei, he has to be Toivel on Mayim Chaim. If he's Toivel in the Mikveh, he won't become Tahar. And the other two are not really where the person is Toivel. You need for the Shchitas Atzipar Hashchuto in the beginning of Parshas Metzora, when the Metzora is healed. So you have to shecht it agabi maim chaim in the kli cheres, agabi hamaim chaim, and the same by the tomei meis in order to be mitar the tomei meis. But as far as people being tomei, being toivel in a mikveh, they always are leaving out the zav. They always have an option either to be toivel in a mikveh or to be toivel in a mayon. Some of the goyim came up with a chiddush Rashi in four or five places in Shas quotes from the goyim that a zava has the same din as a zav. And the Zava needs Mayim Chaim. This would cause quite a chumrah, because Bizman is that we treat all the women as if they're a Sufik need a Sufik Zava, so all the women have to have Mayim Chaim. This is not the common practice. In Muncie, they have a couple of mikvahs where it's Mayim Chaim. It's healthier. Because like this, if you have a mikveh, the water is stagnant water, so one woman has an infection, so she goes into the mikveh, so all the other women are going to use the same mikveh, can get the infection from the first woman. And if you have Mayim Chaim, so the water is flowing all the time, so there'll be less of a likelihood of people getting infected with the other people's sicknesses. So that's why they have to use some kind of chlorine or something to kill all the germs that the other people should get infected with the infection that the first woman has. Anyway, so we really don't hold like that. Rashi and the Stiris and Rashi around 10 places in Shas. So 5 places Rashi quotes the Goyim that the Zava also needs Mayim Chaim. And 5 places Rashi says that it's wrong. And he quotes Tosefta and Megillah. And the first parak of Megillah ends off with a lot of Mishnais that list off Ein Bein. The difference between Adi Rishon and Adi Sheni is this. The difference between this and this is this. So it says Ein Bein Zavla Zava Ela Mayim Chaim. That the Zava does not need Mayim Chaim. It's a Beferish Tosefta. The Ramban Chumash also quotes that at the end of Parshas Tazria, I think at the very end of Parshas Tazria, at the end of Parshas Metzora, at the end of Parshas Metzora, when you have the dinam of Zav and Zava, so I think it's the last Ramban in Parshas Metzora. He quotes the guy and says it's against the Tosefta. That is not so. You don't need Mayim Chaim. The pasuk says, "Kol halech al gachon, if it's dead, is also metame, and it's also bachilum." So the vav of gachon is a larger letter than the others, and the Gemara says in the first parak in Kiddushin, "Vav of gachon is the emtza sefer Torah ba'osios." The Gemara just has a suffix: is it the end of the first half, or is it the vav is the first letter in the second half of the number of osios in the sefer Torah? So the Gemara says they don't remember. The Pnei Shua asks, maybe there's a third possibility. Maybe there's an odd number of letters in the Sefer Torah. The Vav Gochen is the middle. Why does it have to be either the end of the first half or the beginning of the second half? Maybe it's Mamish the middle. So he says, no. Apparently the Gemara assumes like the Zohar. Pnei Shua quotes there. The end of the first parak in Kedushin. The Zohar on Shir Hashirim says that there's Shishim Riba Osios in the Sefer Torah. There's nowhere near that. There's half the amount. You look at the last page in the Chumash, they tell you how many letters there are in the Sefer Torah. It's less than 400,000, it's 300,000 and change. So that's a problem. That's a problem that many Mefarshim, I mean, it's double the amount. So many, they give different suggestions. You look in a good edition of the Zohar on Shir HaShirim. Rav Reuven Margolyi has published his edition of the Zohar, so he gives all the terutzim, how to knock sense into the Zohar, what's it talking about. But that's what the Pnei Yeshua quotes, that if you should assume that the Shishim Reba Osias and the Torah, so they had a tradition, there's an even number of Osias, so that's when the Gemara is not sure whether the Vav of Gach in the end of the first half, or the beginning of the second half. So the Gemara says, so take a Sefer Torah and count it, and you'll be able to restore the Masorah. The Gemara says, Ain on a Bikim Bachaseris V'Yaseris, that our Sefer Torah have mistakes here and there, and sometimes you have an extra Vav, sometimes you're missing a Vav. So that's why it's not going to help. If we're going to take a Sefer, we won't be able to know. We'll be way off. The Vav Gachem will not be the middle. We'll be way off. So that's a kasha that all of the Shagzari talks about. If you ain't on the Bikim, Machaseris V'Yaseris, all the Sefer Torah apostle, the Dina Sefer Torah Shechasar Isachas. The Raman Paskins, that's what it says in the Zohar. The Raman Paskins in the Gemara doesn't say that, but the Raman quotes from the Zohar. Sefer Torah Shechasar Isachas is possible. Sefer Torah Sheyitar Isachas. Yes, it cannot hold on. If you have an extra letter, missing letter, all Sefer Torah is possible. So the Gemara states, Ain on a Bikim, Machaseris V'Yaseris, all of us Sefer Torah apostle. So how can you do Kriyas HaTorah with a bracha if you're not sure? If you're not sure, maybe a Sefer Torah is possible. So this is a problem. It's a bigger problem on the word Patsua Daka. The word Patsua Daka, either spelled with an Aleph at the end or a Hey at the end. Either an Aleph or the Hey, the other one is incorrect. So all the half of the Sefer Torah in the world are puzzle. Either supposed to be spelled with an Aleph or a Hey. This is a big problem. So the Shagzai works on this. For the last 100 years, it's been accepted like the Minhas Chinuch's suggestion. And Haschinuch says that the word Petzua Dako is a correct spelling, either Aleph or Hey, the word Dako. Either is correct. In the Sefer Torah, there's a Masorah, which one is supposed to be. So we lost the Masorah. So if we know what the Masorah is, we would correct 50% of the Sefer Torah to correspond to the Masorah. But he says the Sefer Torah that has a misspelled word, let's say if you write Noyach, you're going to write Noyach with a long Nun and with a Chaf. In Yiddish folklore, they talk about the possibility of writing Noach with 7 mistakes. So if you write Noach, Nun, Vav, Yud, Aleph, Chof, Noach. So that's incorrect. So that's Sefer Torah's possible. But if you write Aharon, Aleph, Hey, Resh, Vav, Nun, Aharon, Aleph, Hey, Resh, Nun, either way is correct. According to the Masor, it's supposed to be either Chosar or Molay. It's not correct according to the Masor, but it's not incorrect in the dictionary. So the Minchas Chinuch says a chiddush that that wouldn't pasul a Sefer Torah, unless it's a kri yuksiv. No, that's a different word, so that's taka a problem. That's a problem. When you have a difference in meaning, or a different word, then it will pasul. Yeah. But it just says, the Gemara says, when that became...
What do we do about
the... I don't know, that's another problem. But this Gemara in Kiddushin just says, when that became... Bachaseris v'yaseris, so he says this per se doesn't pose a problem. He thinks that the Sefer Torah will be kosher even though you have a moli or a chaser where it doesn't belong. If you're right, if you'll misspell a word, misspelling based on the dictionary, correct spelling, then it'll be possible. Or if you write, there's supposed to be a kriya ksib, ashalochoma, it's supposed to be written with an aleph, and you read it ashalochoma with a vav. So if you write the way the Kri is, not according to the Ksiv. So Kri Ksiv, that'll pasul. Kri Ksiv is Allah HaMashem Yisini, we assume. That'll pasul the Sefer Torah. But aside from that, Minhas Chinuch's suggestion has been accepted. It says, that's two different words. So that'll pasul. So okay, so you have the Sefer Torah in the world. Apostle, that's not a problem. And Bishalach, we read on Shvi Yishal Pesel, we read Bishalach. The last pasuk, Kivosus Para Berichba for Rosh HaBayam, there is a machlekes, but it's supposed to be written like a shira, with gaps in it, with empty spaces, like the rest of the shira, or it's supposed to, or the shira is up, Hashem Yimlach Liyolan Void. So we, in davening, we say Hashem Yimlach Liyolan Void twice, based on the Abu Dram in Hilchas Tfilah, because that's the end of the shira. Kivosus Paro is not part of the shira. So there was such a minority opinion and practice that Kibosus Par is written like the rest of the Sefer Torah. And most of the Sefer Torah have it written, the Roiva of the Sefer Torah have it written like a Shira, with gaps in between, with empty spaces in between. So we follow the majority. We follow the Roiva. I think it was a couple of years ago, we checked the Sefer Torah and the Erev Shabbos B'Shalach. Someone checked the Sefer Torah in the Beis Medrash. So Roiva of them had it written like a Shira, and Miut of them like it is in the whole world. The Roiva of the Sefer Torah have Kibos Espar written like a Shira. And the Miut had it written like the rest of the Sefer Torah. In the beginning of the parasha, you have all the dinim of the Yom HaShmini. Rashi, in the beginning of Yuma, writes that all avodas Shmini lemeluim is mutal an Aharon. This is a problematic. Rashi, the Rashashi asks, it says in the Psukim that the Kabbalah Saddam was done by the Bnei Aharon, by Kriva Bnei Aharon and Saddam Elov. The Kabbalah Saddam, part of the Halacha Saddam was done, Bnei Aharon did it. How can Rashi write, just like on Yom Kippur, indeed it can go up to do all the avodas. So Rashi in the beginning of Yuma writes, the same is true on Shmini lemeluim. So I think the Rashash suggests the Teretz. The Rashi didn't mean to say the actual Avoida has to be done by the Kohen Gadol, but the Kohen Gadol should oversee the Avoida. Okay, Aaron HaKohen had to oversee the Avoida. Yeah, the Chumash has the din that the Kohen Gadol doesn't observe Avelus when his two sons died. Nadav Avihu died, so Aaron HaKohen was instructed he's not permitted to observe Avelus. So that's the simple reading of the Gemara in Moed Katan, that the Kohen Gadol does not observe Avelus. Kohen Gadol all year long is Kisrol Baregel Dami. Just like the Jews on Regel, because there's a Chi of Simcha, so they don't observe Avelus, so the Kohen Gadol all year long has such a Chi of Simcha, because he's supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash every day. Whoever is supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash has a Chi of Simcha. So that's the simple reading of the Gemara, that the Kohen Gadol doesn't have Avelus. The Rambam writes Kohen Gadol does observe Avelus, like everybody else. So the Meforshim on the Rambam ask, it's against the Gemara. Gemar Ma'id Katan is Beferish, and you Dalar on the base, that the Kohen Gadol does not observe Avelus. Then you have the din that a Shikr is not Yayim Shecher al Teish Tata Venech Bevayachim Alo Amoyd. Shikr is not allowed to do Avoida. There's a din of Balmum is also not allowed to do Avoida. What about Duchening? Do we treat Duchening as an Avoida or not? So the Gemara says a Balmum is permitted to Duchen. When a Torah is Mutter, the Mishnah Megillah has a Takana de Rabbanon, that if the Kohen has Mumin be part of Yad of Haveraglav, this will draw attention to when to his hands when he's duchening, so we don't permit him to duchen with the Rabban. The Shulchan Aruch writes that since Bizman Azeh, the minig developed in the 1500s and during the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Kara, minig developed that the Kohen cover over the hands, so there's nothing to see anyway. You can't see the Kohen even if you try, unless you crawl under the talus. So since the whole Chashash doesn't apply, so the Shulchan Aruch did away with the Mishnah Megillah. The Gzeret the Rabbanon doesn't apply. So today we permit a Kohen to Duchen, even if he has a plastic leg. Because what's it going to help draw attention? You can't see the Kohen's hands anyway. The whole issue is that you may stare at the Kohen's hands. You can't see his hands. So the Gemara has a discussion. How come the din of Balmum is Pasal Avoy does not carry over to Duchening? And the din of Yayim Shecher Altesh, the Shikr, is not allowed to do Avoida, does carry over to Duchening. We consider Duchening and Avoida with respect to Yayim Shecher, and not with respect to Balmum. So the Gemara distinguishes, the Gemara gives a whole mocker in the Chumash with it. This is a big shaila. Is this a real drosha gemura deraisa, or is it only an asmachta mid rabbanon? So that's a big machlokes harishonim. Some rishonim hold that it's a real din deraisa, that a kohen who drank a little bit of wine is not allowed to duchen. In some shuls, they have such an institution as a kiddush club. And then they're going to go duchen on the yontif to musaf. So the kohen going to say, the kohen is half drunk. So he's not allowed to duchen. Shasar Adis is not allowed to duchen. That's why the meaning in many places is that on Simchas Torah everybody gets an aliyah and then they say Kiddush. So that's why they duchen b'shachrin instead of by Musaf, because by the time it comes Musaf, many of the Kohanim will already have had a drink. But Balmum does not carry over. The din of Balmum does not carry over to duchen. That's what the Gemara distinguishes. Others hold the whole din is only the Rabban, that the Shikr is not allowed to duchen. You have another emtza. The vav of gochen is emtza hoisius, and darosh darash is the emtza sefer Torah b'tevas. The sirachatos darosh darash Moshe v'hinei sorov. So darosh is the end of the first half of the sefer Torah b'tevas words, and darash is the first half of first word in the second half. That's what it says here. So the question is, does it correspond to our Sifrei Torah? It does not. That's a problem. So what happened over here? The Sirah Chatas, which Chatas was that? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in the end of Zochim, this was the Soy Rosh Chodesh. The Soy Rosh Chodesh is a Din L'Doris on every, it was Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Every Rosh Chodesh should bring 11 Musafim, 10 of them are Oilus and one is a Soy L'Chatas. Like on Pesach, Shavuos, all the shoulders are gone, the same thing. You bring 11 Musafim, 10 are Oilus and one is a Chatas. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I was instructed, oh, chol tochlu osab HaKodesh kasher tzivesi. HaKodesh Baruch Hu told me, and I instructed you, you should eat the shiori hamincha. So Aaron says, no. Aaron argues with Moshe Rabbeinu, the Doris Mishor lo yafinu. You were told regarding Kodesh Shor, the special karbonis that have brought Shemini l'miluim, there's a Hayra Shor once in the history of the world, they brought these karbonis. So you were told the Hayra Shor that we should eat the shiori hamanachas even though we're in a state of aninus. But Doris Mishor lo yafinon. He can't learn out from the karbonis that are l'shor to the karbonis that are l'doris. Well, so Moshe Rabbeinu accepted the argument. That's talocha. All the dinim in the Torah fit into a pattern. Kol ha'Torah kula inyan echad. That's how it says in Tosefta. That's why you have a right to learn out midin echad l'chaveiro. You learn a mamatzina from one din to the other because all the dinim have to fit into one big mosaic. But whatever is a hirashah doesn't fit into the system. So that's what the Gemara says, Doris Mishor Le'afin. You can't learn out from a din hirashah to a korban le'doris. That's when the Midrash turned the Dreshes, man, the Doris Mishor Le'afin. So that's the special korbanis for the Shemini and the Mulema up until Shishi. And then starting from Shishi is about the kashrus, about the kosher animals and so on. Okay? Everybody should have a good Shabbos. Sunday we're going to start back at Bob Mitzia. I already forgot what Mesichta we're learning. Where are we up to?